created this podcast titled The Nexus Intersection to provide our listeners with a diverse approach to leadership by interviewing Nexus alumni and other key leaders in our community. Each episode, we discuss timely topics, leadership journeys, and the backbone of any good leader, their mentors. Since the founding of Nexus in 2003, over 1,000 leaders have been encouraged and equipped. Listen in as we continue encouraging, equipping, and learning from principles-centered leaders in our city. Oh, well, all right, everybody. We are in here with, is it Bill or is it Will? Or tell us what we call you.
We'll go with William. That's my mother's choice.
William. Okay. Yeah. You know, we were not a nickname family in our house. Well, I take that back. I was big girl. My sister
That's a nickname.
Was sweet girl. My brother was baby boy. And my little brother was sweet boy.
Okay.
But that was what my daddy called us.
Okay.
But
not other
otherwise,
people.
Yeah. Otherwise, we were just Effie, Linda, Monroe.
I was going to say, outside the house, right. You had your normal name. Gotcha.
Right, yeah.
Gotcha.
We didn't get into all that stuff.
Okay,
but, you know,
good.
But you know, you read the William and you think,
yeah,
it's Bill.
You never know.
And I never understood where Bill came from with William.
I never have either.
Yeah, I'm just. So your mom's very smart. She said, keep with William.
Well,
that's what we named
mandated.
Your child.
That's right. Yeah.
There you go.
That's right. Yeah, you will not go by Billy or Willie or anything like
right.
that.
Right.
Yeah.
You shall be William.
You will be William. That's right.
Well, we're so proud to have you here.
Thank you.
At Nexus Intersection. It's just a wonderful opportunity to do a podcast to talk to wonderful young leaders like yourself that are doing great things.
And yeah, so, sure. Well, thank you for having me.
So we're so happy to have you. So I'm Effie, and this is
Heather Hunt.
And we are together doing this thing with this podcast and just having a great time. And we're doing this part of Nexus to encourage the continuation of helping young people, leaders, to understand that mentorship has its place and it works.
Exactly.
And so you are part of Nexus.
That's right.
And so tell us a little bit about that journey and where you are now.
Yeah, sure. So about just my Nexus journey or your whole career journey here?
The Nexus journey, yeah. How you got to this point and now you're shining and we want to talk
yeah,
about what
yeah,
you're
yeah.
doing.
No, so my Nexus journey, so I think we decided it was back in 2015. I went through as a protege. It was a fantastic experience at the time. I was working at a bank here in town. I guess it's First Horizon now. It's First Tennessee at the time. Mm-hmm. And we were encouraged to look into programs like this. And so I was fortunate enough to be accepted and paired up with a wonderful mentor who I hope I'll get a chance to talk about as part of this today. But I've stayed involved with Nexus. I'm on the program committee. Love the program, love its impact on the community, love its impact on future leaders. Hopefully I'll get an opportunity to lend more help on that way. But for right now, the program committee is kind of where I serve.
Wow. And so you've been a part of Nexus all the way through now to being on the program committee, but then you have this professional journey. And so tell us a little bit about what you're doing now doesn't necessarily match with what you did before.
No,
so kind of tell
no.
us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of skipping to the end, I work for a company called Path Company, and Path Company is an engineering and construction firm. We develop large-scale energy projects in the public space, so cities, county, school systems. We're doing things like solar and LED lighting and HVAC projects, et cetera. But my career started in a completely different way. And I guess to give you some insight as to how that all began, I'll go back to kind of my upbringing. So my father is a doctor here in town. And mm-hmm. growing up, I was fortunate enough to be, I guess, paired with all the smart kids. And so all the smart kids studied science. I always figured I was going to be a doctor. I got to college, though, and realized there were plenty of smart, successful people doing other things other
yes,
than science.
That's right.
And luckily, my dad was not one of those doctor dads that says, you will follow in my footsteps. And so he encouraged me to look elsewhere. I leaned on a lot of people in my college years just trying to understand more about what other options existed. And it seemed like there were a lot of opportunities in the finance and accounting fields. So that's what I studied. When I came out, I worked for First Tennessee, First Horizon, on the financial advising side for about a year and a half, 2 years. Made a transition after that to the private banking side and sat there for about 5 years. It was in that kind of 3 to 5 year period, though, that I started to realize that maybe I wasn't going to be at the bank for my entire career. And mm-hmm. that was kind of a really eye-opening moment for me, kind of period in my life. And luckily, through my connections that I actually formed at the bank, I got connected with Path Company. And so the opportunity presented itself to go and jump over there. At the time, I was employee number 4. And so it was a leap of faith, to use Heather's words. But it's all worked out really well. Very blessed.
Yeah, Heather's been like, this is a leap of faith. And we were kind of talking earlier, like, I was like, and did you have children? And you said, no, I didn't, but I did have a wife.
So, that's right.
Like, what was that like to have that conversation? Because, you know, we have a lot of young leaders right now that are probably right in the prime of their lives with children and families and maybe deciding to transition. And so what was that like?
Yeah, so it's a great question. So, you know, there were tough conversations there, but I'll be frank and say that the toughest conversation I had to have was first with myself because, you know, at the time I had invested what I considered to be a considerable amount of time at the bank. And I put all of my eggs in that basket. I was envisioning myself as a future leader there. The bank was fantastic to me, and they were doing everything that they could and investing in me to be that future leader. And so it was when I started to realize that maybe it wasn't for me long term, I kind of questioned it, right? It took a while for me to get comfortable with that idea. Not until I got comfortable with it did I really start talking to those around me. And with that, I mean, you know, my wife and with my parents at the time, trying to make sure that they were comfortable with the risks that I was going to take. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm blessed in that I have an incredibly supportive family, including my wife, who said, you know, by all means, go. Now is the time to do it. At the time, I was 23, 24, 25, kind of going through this phase before I had kids, of course, which made things a little bit easier.
But even if it weren't, I think that it's important that if there's something you really feel drawn to do, go for it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And you can always do a second little job on the side and while you're trying to figure it out. But I think if we don't walk in our purpose, we don't walk in that next thing that intrigues us, then we'll be always wishing and wondering what we could have done.
Yep, you're exactly right. Very wise. And I would also say, you know, me communicating to my loved ones and those in my kind of support staff here, you know, the reason why I wanted to take that leap has actually come back to benefit me because there have been moments where, you know, I've been confronted with challenges in taking the leap that I took of was this right? And they can remind me, here's the reason why you did this and it's working. So there's a lot of benefit to that.
I mean, so you totally went two different sectors, two different industries, and had to relearn all the things. So what else did you learn along the way?
Yeah, so great question. What else I learned along the way? So the good thing for me was that I learned that relationships are your most valuable asset no matter where you are, no matter what the industry is. And for me, that's always been a natural thing. I'm an outgoing person. I love people. I love conversations. I love genuine relationships. And so the fact that that was both beneficial at the bank, but also in the, you know, quasi-construction field that I'm in now, really has benefited me. So that was reassuring. That was, I guess it created a sense of comfort for me. Like, I knew that. I may not know the content just yet of what I was doing, but I knew relationships and I knew people. So that was key. I would also say, as I've gotten older and through this career change, it was important for me to realize that it really, truly was okay not to know everything. You go through this battle when you're young, especially at the bank. You know, you have to know everything or else you're not of any value. That was what I perceived to be the truth.
I think so many young people think that.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Right? And it's crippling at times. It produces a lot of anxiety. And only, I think, when you start to get older, you become more mature, and you realize people do not expect you to know everything. And so through this career change, I knew nobody thought I knew anything. And that was really comforting to be able to go in with an open mind and know that the expectation was I was a smart, likable, good guy, and I would learn it. So that was key for me.
And I'm sure you were dependable. I mean, so when you're going into these things that are new and it's a startup, people just need to know that they can depend on you to go for it.
That's right.
Because the work that you're doing, you said it's in lighting and energy.
That's correct.
I mean, a lot of this area is new right now for a lot of people.
It is. So absolutely. So they gotta trust you. Right. And it's the same concept. I mentioned, you know, relationships are beneficial, but it's the same. You can show up and do what it is you say you're going to do. You know, people find value in that. And so just focusing on those things has benefited me thus far.
So we got a little question for you.
Yeah. Hit me.
So if you could have anyone's cell phone, who would that be?
Anyone's cell phone.
Number.
Oh, okay.
Not their cell phone, my bad. Not the device.
Right.
Their cell phone number.
Yeah. Are we talking about people alive or anybody?
Anybody.
Anybody.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, if they were, I hope they would be alive because you can't call them if they're not here.
Well, that's true. That's true.
That's true.
Man, I've got a lot of good people's cell phone numbers. Ooh, man. That's a good one. You know, I miss, and this is kind of going to reconnect us here with the Nexus thing, I miss my calls to my mentor through Nexus to Larry. Larry Papasan was my mentor. Mm-hmm. He was fantastic, and I had his cell phone number, right? Mm-hmm. And he would always answer no matter where he was. I think he might have gotten in trouble for answering a few times.
And, on the golf course.
On the golf course, that's right. Or at dinner with Diane.
Yeah. That's so funny.
No, but he was wonderful, and I miss kind of that resource. He was tremendous to me, even just as a sounding board.
So he's a number one. Who's a number two?
I don't know. That's a great question. Yeah. I have another cell phone number that I want to have that I don't have.
It could be a famous person. It could be, that's not my deal.
That's not my deal. I don't know. I'll come back to that one.
Well, look, we're getting ready to cut to a break, but before we do, I want to know what's like one of your favorite meals like right here in Memphis that you.
Ooh, favorite meals in Memphis. All right, so my favorite meal with my wife. We love Echo in Midtown. And we love Flight. I like the Wild
Flight
Game.
Flight is good.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I love that.
But my go-to Memphis meal, and I wish it was fancier than it is, but it's just too good to be beaten, is a chicken Philly with sweet potato fries at Huey's.
Well,
that's my comfort. Then.
Oh,
comfort meal.
Not a burger.
Not a burger. Chicken Philly. Underrated. Yeah.
Oh, shout out
and sweet potato fries.
To the Huey's over there.
That's right.
I love that. Yep. I love that. Well, look, while you're making us hungry, we're going to go into a break.
Fair enough.
Guys, if you got to grab a snack, go do it now. Yep. We'll be right back.
Welcome in Nexus, Nexus, we got it, and we're back, so welcome in Nexus, oh Nexus, oh we got it, and we're back, so welcome in Nexus.
All right, so we're back, everybody, here at Nexus Intersection. So proud to have William Franklin as a part of our team today to talk about these great things that are happening in Memphis. And while we're talking about Memphis, tell us one of the favorite things you love about Memphis, being here in Memphis.
Yeah, so this upcoming weekend actually is one of my favorite weekends in Memphis, and unfortunately I'm not going to be here for it, but the marathon weekend is incredible. Getting to see everybody downtown, getting to see everybody all kind of banded together for one good common cause is nice. I'm a big sports guy. Memphis Tiger basketball is kind of what I grew up on.
They're doing well.
this time of year is particularly exciting. And then, of course, my family. I'm blessed. I've got both sides. My wife's family's here, and then my family's here. My brothers are here. So having my family here is
you have
my favorite thing.
So everyone, your wife's born in Memphis, too.
That's correct. Yep. Yep.
That is so fun.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Very blessed in that regard.
Yeah. And, you know, we have the Memphis River, the showboats that are coming to town.
That's what I've heard.
Hey, I was invited to the announcement, baby.
Look at you.
It was
You're big time.
I don't know if I'm a big time or not, but I was feeling kind of like I was doing something right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got me a t-shirt and a hat.
There you go. We're coming back.
I'm ready to go.
Yes, I'm ready to go. Goodness. I remember, this is how old I am. I remember when the showboats
were here
the first time.
Right. They changed the logo up, though.
They did. It looks really cool. They're really sleek.
I mean,
it's going to be a really cool thing. And
yeah.
I'm all about Memphis and everything Memphis, so this is really cool. So I love it that you love our sports and you love being that you're a true Memphian on both sides. Your children have got all the sides in Memphis, so
that's
so proud. So we want to jump right back into some of the things that you shared. And I like I call it the leader list. So like some things that you feel like that as you're sharing with the listening audience, things that you would think are most important that as a young person or aspiring or growing leader in our city is moving towards some of their goals, things that they need to keep in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, there has always been a battle of, you know, where do I focus my attention? And in particular, when I was younger, namely in my 20s, which I'm no longer in my 20s, but when I was in my 20s, I was focused all over the place. I didn't know where to spend my time and my energy. And I've since given advice to other people, and it was advice given to me at the time. 20s are about knowledge, right? And 20s are about relationships. And don't worry so much about the financial success or even the career success that you're having at that time. And a lot of times those are related, obviously. But more, try to learn as much as you possibly can and get exposed to as many people as possible. Number one, you're most capable of doing that at that time because I think your brain is still in that just learning mode from college and you're used to meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you've got the opportunities because typically at that point you're without at least a large family, a bunch of little kids that keep you at home. And so you can get out and you can meet people and you can go to different events and experience things. So that would be, you know, some good advice I'd give. Also to truly study the leaders that you have access to, and notate their good and their bad qualities. And when I say notate it, not just mentally, but actually take notes on that. That was something Larry challenged me to do, was actually write down what it is I appreciated or maybe didn't want to emulate about certain leaders I had.
Mm, that's good. So the two that I heard, there are two different areas. In your 20s, that's the knowledge base. That's sure. where you collect relationships, you're networking, you're doing those initial connectings. And then get exposed and take advantage of your physical freedom.
Bingo.
I love that. And then number two, notate the position. No, I'm sorry. Notate the positive and negatives of those that are now in leadership.
That's right. And everybody has different leadership styles. And I think it's when you're in your 20s, you're trying to figure out, okay, I know I want to be a leader. What is going to be my leadership style? And so you can look around you and look at effective leaders who have different leadership styles and yeah. say, okay, I like that about that style and I don't like that about the other. That for me, hearing the advice of study it, truly study it. Don't just pay attention to it, but study it.
Well, I hope people didn't study me too much in my first set of years of leadership because I'm a crier, first of all. And I remember standing in front of my staff and sometimes maybe things weren't going well, like, you know, there's those times when things are kind of, the synergy is there
right.
with everybody. Everybody's moving in the right direction with the goals, the values mm-hmm. and all that. And then sometimes they would get a little off and you'd have to address it. And yep. I'd stand in front of the staff and cry, I need everybody to join. I was like, you can't be crying, girl. And I'm just.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but I'm like, think you can. That's
yeah,
just you.
True.
Well,
exactly.
I mean, but no. I was probably too human too many times.
Oh, no.
And I but promise. I kinda
grew and obviously up, you know? It worked out okay.
It's getting it better.
I promise they are
relatable.
Studying you.
Yeah, they're studying me, all right.
Yeah. William, so I want to take some time to talk about Larry. So
sure.
Larry Papasan yeah. was a great friend of Nexus yeah. and mentored numerous times. And you've talked about relationships a couple of different times throughout our time together. So tell us more about Larry and what he meant to you and what you learned from him.
Yeah. So Larry Papasan, he made a tremendous impact on my life. For those that don't know, Larry was an incredibly successful person here in Memphis. Larry, at the time, I guess I was 25 going through Nexus. Larry was 50 years my elder at the time. And so
and I remember you and I had a conversation about that, right,
yep.
when y'all were paired together.
Exactly. And I was intrigued by it, but I was a little bit, I don't know, I was curious to see how it was going to work out.
Yeah.
I mean, most of my other business mentors are closer in age to me than 50 years older. And so,
wow.
Anyway, but Larry was CEO of Smith & Nephew. He was also CEO of MLG&W. And so if you look at his career, you know, he kind of span between different industries. And so talking to him was wildly beneficial to me. What he also is, and probably the thing that I most aspire to be like Larry, is that Larry was a fantastic family person, both with his wife, but also with his kids. And it was my exposure to Larry in this moment of life where I thought career's everything,
mm-hmm.
when he was really dialing me back. And all Larry really wanted to talk about when I talked to him, asked him tough questions about his career, was his family.
Wow.
And the impact his career decisions had on his family. And so Larry really was, he was a tremendous resource for me. I miss him dearly. But I like to think that I carry a little bit of him with me as I continue to make these career moves. Hopefully not another one, but we'll see. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he obviously passed away this past spring, and I feel like impacted so many different young leaders and so many different organizations in our city. He really did. I think we may end with just a quick question.
Sure.
Three words.
Mm-hmm.
What does a mentor mean to you?
Ooh. Man. All right, a mentor is first and foremost a listener. They have to be honest. So I'm going to say a listener, honest.
Mm-hmm.
Resource is an easy one. I mean, they're a resource for everything, but I'm going to go, yeah, resource, honest, and listener.
Okay.
Yep. And Larry was all three.
Well, this has been fun, William. And
it has
you
been.
Are just inspiring.
Well, thank you very much.
And I am just encouraged by the start of your life plan. We were listening to another one of our guests, and she was talking about having a work plan,
mm-hmm.
like the path in which you would take. I do want to ask you really quickly, if that's
yeah.
okay.
Sure.
Like, did you write things down about where you were trying to go, or were you working at the bank, and it just kind of all you just follow the next step? Or was there a plan that you had?
Yeah, there wasn't so much a plan that I was following. I guess for me, it's a theme that I've always had. It's a continuous improvement, you know, always trying to maybe make a move. I'm really not very patient. My parents especially would tell you that. And I don't like to sit and wait. And so for me, it was more of a, hey, I feel like I may be hitting a point of stagnation. And so that was really the only plan I had was making sure I had the opportunity to improve.
Create the energy that you wanted to be about throughout the community, the world. So, like, what are some of the fun things you do? I mean, when you're doing something like a startup now, and it's a lot of work. You're putting a lot of time. Yeah. It's like you're on your own business. Y'all are the owners of that business. Sure. No one else is creating that business but you. So it could be not, you know, when people say, oh, I want my own business, it's not 8 to 5. You don't clock in, clock out, and you're out and somebody else got to deal with the stuff. You deal with all of it.
Right.
So how do you take a break? What do you do?
Oh, man. So great question. That's one of the things, when I learned this through my career transition, it was really eye-opening. Culture at First Tennessee, or First Horizon now, was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I kind of took that for granted. I thought that just existed everywhere. And frankly, when you're now in charge of creating the culture, it's challenging, especially when you have, Effie, to all your points, a million other things pulling on you. You've got to take time to create culture. So some things we've tried to do, you know, we try to take little retreats. We try to go after work and have social hour. I got social hour today, I think. But, you know, we probably should do a better job of doing that. We're just not quite out of the startup phase yet.
And I do understand that. And I think that I want, you know, along with you, to encourage those that are listening that want to, you know, start to make that move toward a startup. Sometimes they're maybe feeling called to do it themselves. Don't be discouraged because you might not get those typical vacations.
Bingo.
Or those typical breaks.
That's right.
Because for me, and I have a few businesses, and so I'm just so excited about you because I can relate, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like when I think about what you have to do, I'm so excited about where your future is going.
Well, thank
you. Where you're headed, because you're going to be so proud of looking back, and this is the only thing, your kids are going to think that was always like that.
Right.
That's the only thing.
Yep.
My kids had no idea all the nights and the early mornings and all the different things that it takes to make this thing work. But I'm sure you encourage you that you are doing these vacations and you think you're doing all this because you want to have great things for your family.
That's exactly
to experience.
Right. Yep. There's some sacrifices.
Yes, but there's sacrifice now, and I love that you're willing to do that.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. You're an inspiration yourself.
Oh, well, thank you, William. That means a lot. So look, guys, if you want to learn more about Nexus, you can go to NexusLeaders.org and check us out. And Heather, anything you'd like to share?
No, just thank you so much, William.
Thank you all for having me.
For being here and for continuing to be a great friend of Nexus.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Oh, you're awesome. Guys, check us out again here at Nexus Intersection, where we're talking to awesome leaders. I'm Effie.
And I'm Heather.
We'll check you again soon.
Thanks.